34 minutes past 1 o'clock. Joseph Cooper along with the almost witty Bonnie Berman.
Thanks.
It's Food and Dining Thursday has arrived. We have chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. She returned from her far-flung travels. And we have a longtime close colleague with us in the studio today in a bit different role. She's usually here on Linda's famous restaurant roundabouts, but that's not happening today. Linda, how was the Pillsbury Bake Off? I guess we'll have the winner on Topical Currents in a while.
Yes, we will. And everyone.
And I saw a picture of you hugging an 8-foot Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, he was really cute.
It must have been hot inside that for that guy.
I know he has a fan. There's a fan going on inside. Yeah, we're going to hear a lot more about it. It was a really interesting and people can vote. If you want to vote for the $1 million winner, you can go to vote.bakeoff.com and put in your vote. But today we're talking about something else. So Florida's known for its oranges, its key limes, but I think mangoes are really close contender, don't you think?
Absolutely.
There's nothing like a ripe mango picked from the tree and still warm from the sun. They're sweet, they're juicy, and a major treat. And our guest today knows a lot about mangoes. And as you already mentioned, she's one of our favorite guests from our restaurant roundabout. It's Jen Koretnik. Her latest book is called Mango. Let's welcome Jen.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here and talking about mangoes instead of restaurants.
She sounds like a regular guest all of a sudden.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot of practice.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice to be here. You know, it's nice to see you guys.
Thanks for seeing you, Jen.
Thanks
for taking
my call.
I'll be back in December. Yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from all of you.
Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Well, we'd like to hear from our listeners. Give us a call if you want to join in and ask Jen about some mangoes. How do you use them? How do you cultivate them? Whatever you want to ask her. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-9576. WLRN. Do we have internet today, Bonnie?
We do. It's radio at WLRN.org.
Clearly something went on here before we came
well,
in.
Well, she always says that like it's 1982 or something. Do we have the internet?
Well, the point is sometimes our internet is not up. Sometimes it's not working.
Yes,
and I
that
wanted
is
to
true,
make
Jo.
Sure it was working.
It's okay. Like she worked with Marconi or something.
Yeah, oh, Linda, he's picking on you today.
Yeah, for 16 years he's been picking
on
me.
That wit segment's kind of got me on a roll.
I know.
Well, let's get another witty person on, Fred Tasker, our favorite wine guy. He's joining us by Skype. And you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns. That's in today's Miami Herald. You can also read his wine column. It's now on Saturday in the food section of the Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, Joe and Bonnie, today you have the Lunch Goddess, the Mango Mama, and the Swirling Dervish. How can you go wrong?
Oh, you were listening, Fred.
We thought you were making a sandwich.
Yeah, I was just bursting to get into that part of the conversation.
Listen, Fred, he had a quote in the book from Mark Twain I thought you'd like. I find
this is from the program before the food program.
Yeah. I find that about 2 glasses of champagne are an admirable stimulant to the tongue, though wine is a clog to the pen.
I would agree with that.
Oh, I don't go along with that second part.
Well, I like that. That works for me.
Yeah. Well, usually, I mean, Fred's...
Okay, well, let's go back to mangoes, okay?
Okay?
All right, the mangoes. Jen, you're a great restaurant critic. We know that.
Oh, I thank you.
But how did you come to writing about mangoes?
Well, it was an accident of fate, I guess you could call it. My husband and I moved into this wonderful house, this old house on an old mango plantation, and we had no idea what we were getting into. And
coming happened, from the big city, huh?
Coming from the big city of South Beach, yes. we really wanted fruit trees, and I think that was a very romantic notion. And, you know, I applaud my old self for having that romantic notion, and I also curse my old self for having that romantic notion, because it led us to this place that, you know, has this name, Mango House. And when we saw it, we thought, wow, that's just, it's a beautiful house.
So that was the name of the house?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful house. It originally had 18 mango trees on it, on the property, and it is really the last acre of Miami Shores's, you know, huge mango plantations before they were divided up into suburbs. So this was the original mango picker's cottage, and it's been added onto over the years. And right before its final renovation, before we moved in, there were 18 mango trees standing. When we moved in, there were 11.
What happened?
What happened to the 18?
18.
The former owner took out 7 of them.
With them?
To put an addition on.
Oh,
and to me, you know, it was probably unnecessary. And I would have loved to have known which mangoes those were. Mm. And all the documentation has been lost. So I really
don't. Well, Jen, with 11 mango trees, have you ever counted how many mangoes do you think you grow in a year?
It's quite possible that we get up to 1,000 pieces of fruit per tree. And
per tree?
Per tree.
And that's huge. 1,000 per tree?
Yeah.
And now you have 14 trees.
Well, now we have 14 because we did something even stupider than moving into a house that had 11 mango trees. And that was 1 year when they were taking a year off, which mango trees sometimes do take some time off. We went out and bought 3 more and planted them because we thought we should really keep up the legacy of this property and plant some more trees.
So what do you do with all those mangoes every year?
We throw them at people. Please take them off our hands. Well, we started by giving them to friends, and then we expanded by giving them to chefs, and then we expanded by driving up and down Biscayne Boulevard begging people to take them. I'm not even kidding.
We had this show on food waste, and there was a woman on, I forgot her name now, I'm sorry, but she said there was a program called neighborhoodfruit.com, I believe.
Yes, and I tried to start something like that about 10, 12 years ago. And I actually picked all of my neighbor's trees as well, because it killed me to see mango trees unpicked, dropping their fruit when people are going hungry.
Right.
And I used to donate the fruit to a program called Food for Life, which fed homebound AIDS patients. And they don't exist any longer. But I used to bring the fruit to them, and they were always so grateful. But a lot of the food programs around here don't take fresh fruit. And they won't take fresh fruit or fresh food that's unpackaged because they're suspicious now. So it's a real shame that you can't just your food.
You're very good at making sure all these mangoes get used. You connected with a lot of our chefs here in town. So tell us about that.
Yes. It's fortunate, you know, that after a while I became friends with a lot of the chefs. And then I realized that not only were they pals, but they actually lived in my neighborhood. So Andrea Curta Randazzo and her husband, Frank Randazzo, were right around the corner. Dewey
they
Lasasso.
They used to have Tallulah, the restaurant.
Right. Yeah. Dewey Lasasso, who had, at that time, he had North 110. He was right around the corner. Douglas Rodriguez lives in Miami Shores. So I started calling them up and saying, look, come get some mangoes. You can use them in the restaurants. I don't care, you know, what you do with them. Just please use them. And they were more than happy to.
And Alan Susser, who's another mango.
Well, Alan Susser, who's such a good guy, you know, he himself was inundated with mangoes when he had Chef Allen's, because he had that program, which you probably know about, where if you brought him mangoes, he would weigh them. And once you reached 200 pounds of mangoes, he kept a ledger. He would give you a free dinner for two. So walking into his kitchen, and I would do this once in a while, I would bring him some mangoes just because he loved to see all the different varieties. He's really a mango guy. Walking into his kitchen during prime mango season was like walking into Aladdin's cave. It was just piled high with all different colors and shapes of mangoes. It was like jewels. And you could see, you know, the glee on his face was so funny because the prep cooks, who were the ones who had to peel and chop and slice all the mangoes, if you walked in with more mangoes, they would look at you like, I'm going to kill
you. Oh, no. How many varieties do you have?
We have 8 varieties.
Eight.
What's your favorite?
I like what we have. Our favorite tree, my husband and I, is the Irwin. We have 1 Irwin tree, and they grow in little purple clusters, and they have absolutely no fiber in them at all, and they're a little bit tart. So you don't have this, like, tremendous sweetness to them that, you know, I find a little bit overpowering
sometimes.
So they're
easy to seed, I guess.
They're just delicious. I mean, you can eat one after the other, and you know, mangoes can be very easy to seed. You just slice them right down the cheeks.
Talk about eating. We've got some food here that you brought in. So tell us what you, because you've got recipes in the books from all the chefs.
I do.
And what have we got here?
Well, this is actually the first recipe I ever made with the mangoes, because I had never actually picked a mango before I moved into this house. I'd never cooked with a mango before I moved into this house. So the first thing I made, of course, was the easiest thing to make, which is mango salsa. Because to make a fruit salsa, all you need is a source of fruit, an onion, a source of citrus and some cilantro or a similar kind of herb.
Really
so
nice.
It was very easy for me to do that. And then, of course, you start perfecting what you like, you know, the ratios.
So what's
of what
in this
like.
Salsa?
Well, this salsa, because I actually got really lucky yesterday. I was in the market. I was intending to make you a mango cake using mangoes I had frozen. I know you're like, but then you just came back from the Pillsbury cook-off, so you don't want any more cake.
Okay.
And I was thinking, you know, I'll use some of the frozen mangoes, and you can use frozen mangoes all year long, and you can bake with them. You just have to defrost them first, so you have the right ratio of fruit,
well,
and it doesn't get watery.
We're going to break soon, but tell me, how do you pick when you go? You went to the supermarket. How do you know it's a good one? When you're looking at those mangoes.
Well, I will hardly ever buy a mango in the supermarket because even in prime mango season, you see mangoes from Mexico when you have Haydens dropping in your backyard, and it's kind of an insult to the South Floridians. There were these beautiful mangoes from Brazil. There were these, and there were only five of them, honey mangoes from Brazil, and they had sap on them, which to me says they left them on the tree long enough to be picked when they were ripe.
All right.
Wow.
We have to take a break, but yes. Would you just tell us when we come back how to defrost them properly?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking with Jen Koretnik and about her new book called Mango. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Jen Koretnik. You hear her here and with our restaurant roundabout programs. But now she's written a book called Mango, and she's also known as Mango Mama, because everybody knows that Jen has mangoes. She's been telling us about her mango orchard and giving us tips on how to use the mangoes. And Jen, you're going to be at the book fair?
I am. November 22nd, I'll be reading from my two new poetry books, which came out very close to the cookbook. So it's been a little crazy, but I'll be reading from them at 10 and then signing the cookbook and reading from the cookbook at 12:30. Both in the same building, which
Saturday.
Is very convenient on Saturday.
Do you have any poems about mangoes?
Yeah, that's the first thing I did, of course, was forget cooking with them. I wrote poems about them.
Great.
And you said some of your students are going to be reading?
Yes, and the book fair was so nice. They invited my entire high school creative writing program to read at the book fair on Friday. So they'll be reading at the Swamp, which is their new programming. From 12 to 1 on Friday.
Okay, and so people don't realize that Jen, in addition to everything else, she's a teacher.
Oh, yeah,
so these
educator.
Are her students.
Educator.
Excuse me, educator.
Yeah, we don't call them teachers anymore, you know.
I'm sorry.
Call them educators.
Is that politically incorrect now to say teacher?
I don't know. I just, whatever.
So quickly, before we have dinner in minutes, give us a quick idea of what to do with frozen mangoes, how to defrost them.
I defrost them in the refrigerator so that they defrost slowly, and I make sure to put them in a bowl so that when they defrost, they can get a little watery. They don't spread all over the bottom of your refrigerator.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right. So now it's dinner in minutes time. And today's dinner in minutes is a taste of the Caribbean. It's mojo glazed steak with a quick rice and beans. Many of you maybe know that mojo is a garlicky, spicy sauce. And there are lots of varieties in the market you can find. And sometimes it's also called a Spanish barbecue sauce. And this recipe is so easy. I have skirt steak, and I maybe cook it about 3 minutes aside. A meat thermometer should read about 145 for medium rare. Then I take the steak out. I mix some mojo sauce with a little orange marmalade, and I put that in the pan and melt. It becomes a glaze, and you put it over the steak. Couldn't be easier. Real simple. Maybe 10 minutes it'll take you to do that. And for the rice and beans, I just cook up some rice, and I rinse and drain black beans, put them all together, and toss them with a little olive oil and salt and pepper. Now that complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. You can read another steak recipe. It's in today's Miami Herald. It's another Caribbean recipe. It's a grilled Cuban steak, and I've adapted it from the Versailles Restaurant cookbook. So it's a fun recipe, and that's in today's Miami Herald. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, we're talking about mangoes and wine. So as it turned out, I did research this topic several years ago when I did a wine seminar at the International Wine Mango Festival at Fairchild Tropical Botanical Garden. And I found some wonderful matches that they were actually quite varied. At the tart end, I had to match a wine with a spicy green mango salad containing mangoes with onions, red bird's eye chilies, lime juice, and spicy Thai fish sauce.
Well, that sounds delicious.
That'll burn you up.
Oh, it's a wonderful salad. And this is a very tart, spicy, high-acid dish, so I matched it with a tart, spicy, high-acid Sauvignon Blanc. Went very nicely. But mangoes can also go with savory dishes. I found a recipe for a chicken black bean stew with big chunks of mango in it that was matched perfectly by a big, oaky, buttery California Chardonnay. And, of course, with as Jen was talking about, if you're eating fresh mangoes straight out of hand with the juice running down your arm, you want a slightly sweet Moscato, maybe even a sparkling Moscato. That's a very nice combination.
Ooh, I could see that with a little mango puree in the morning at brunch. Yum.
Yeah, that's good for you, too.
Oh, yes, of course it's good for you.
Finally, there's dessert. No chocolate, though, Linda, I'm sorry. But I came across a super sweet Thai mango pudding made of extra ripe mangoes, coconut milk, and lots of sugar. And with wine and sweet things, the rule of thumb is that the wine should always be sweeter than the dessert. Otherwise, it makes the wine taste kind of thin and metallic. So you need a super sweet dessert wine with that, like Sauternes or even ice wine, something like that. Now, Jen, I understand you have some rum mango drinks in your book. And
Yes. As
you know probably better than I, with 11 mango trees, you either have no mangoes at all or tons and tons of mangoes.
Yes, that's true. Well, my trees have gotten smart, though. They don't take a year off anymore because they know that I'm picking them. So now
they're
they only take sides off.
Out for
yeah.
you.
Sometimes they just take a quarter of a side off.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're.
Well, how do you keep them short? Because they get.
That's a problem because when we moved into the house, they were already overgrown. So our mangoes are pretty large. They're about 90 years old, and they can produce up to 300 years old.
And, yeah. and
you Boy, you've got a lot to look forward to, Jen.
I hope I live that long, Fred.
Anyway, I used to puree a bushel or two of mangoes and pour them into ice cube trays and freeze them. Then all year long, you can toss a few of those in a blender with some rum and make that frozen concoction that helps you hang on.
That helps you hang on. That gives you a long life. Yeah, well, and that's right. An excellent way also to make sangria. You can just toss those into a couple of liters of red or white wine with some fresh cut up fruit, and you have, instead of watering down your wine, you have cooling, nice chunks of fruit.
Sounds good. You know, my mother used to do that with peaches. She would freeze them, and if you thaw them out after that, they get a little mushy. So what she would do is take them out of the freezer and wait till they're about 1/3 thawed, and then serve them that way, and they'd have a little crunch of ice in them. They're really good.
Delicious.
Making us all thirsty. Let's go to Gary. Gary in South Miami. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Hi. Problem of what to do with the mangoes. I gave hundreds away to two places this year. One is the Chapman Partnership for the Homeless, which is near the school board on Miami Avenue and 13th to 14th Street, something That's like that.
They're right where we are. Book. Right where the studio is.
Yeah.
And the other one I gave away, especially if you're in Broward, they don't have a location in Dade County, but they'll send somebody around with a truck to pick them up from the Feeding South Florida. They're very happy to get them.
Okay. I love the sending around with the truck part. That part sounds really good to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done that before. I freeze a bunch, and I give them away to people at my synagogue, and I give them all to the neighbors. And then I said, well, this is, nobody's going to eat that many. So I just took them. This was 2 years ago. Last year, we didn't have any mangoes at all, but 2 years ago, we had a bumper crop, and I started taking them to the Partnership for the Homeless. They're very, very happy to get them.
Okay. Well, if they rot on the ground, don't they fertilize it?
Thank you very much for your call, Gary.
Well, you would think that they fertilize it, and we don't use any fertilizer, and we don't use chemicals or anything like that, but what they do is they root themselves.
Oh.
So suddenly, you have hundreds of tiny little mango trees.
I see.
Right. So I mentioned in your book, Mango, that you have a lot of recipes from the chefs and all. And then you mentioned the fact that we only have half a minute left, but a mango gang, that the chefs call themselves the Mango Gang. Who are they?
Well, the Mango Gang, Alan Susser, Mark Militello, Norman Van Aken, Douglas Rodriguez, I believe that they were christened that by, wasn't it you?
Yes, somebody you know.
Somebody I know?
When I first moved here, I was amazed by them. And we used to get together and have lunch and talk about recipes and what they were doing here.
So they became known that way, but it was, something they became known for, also for cooking with tropical ingredients and things like that. And now they, I think they are still known for it and have passed it on to the next generation. But I'm not sure they still like being pigeonholed that much.
They've gone beyond that.
Yeah.
Well, we could continue to talk for a long time.
Of course.
It's been a very tasty week. Thank you for this mango salsa. Delicious.
Thank you, Jen Karetnik.
She'll be appearing at the Mining Book Fair on Saturday, November 22nd. And her book is called Mango, and it's really a very delicious read. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joe Cooper and Bonnie Berman, good to be with you. You ate well today.
Thanks so much. Welcome back.
Thank you. Well, next week we're going to be talking with Michael Love from Epicure Market. His book is Salvage Chef Cookbook, and he's going to teach us how to use up all that trash food in our refrigerator.
All right.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.